The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Girls, let's go. We gotta go to dance. This is Good Dad Angel here. When I'm not taking my girls to dance, I'm listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Because I'm a mook.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Are you tired of all the negativity in your life? Do you need a motivator or motivation to have some positive vibes go your way? Do you need help getting your life in order, balancing your priorities, and getting your professional and personal life in a direction in which we all could be happy with? With all that standing, do you still need that rough and tough individual to get you focused and get you geared up to take on a day? TRSS brings to you the Good Thug. No, my friends, not the hood thug, not the one that'll shank you and take your money. The Good Thug will bank you and give you money. The Good Thug is a motivational sneaker and an individual who will give you positive information to help you bring forth all good things going your way with that hood quality. Take a listen of some of his quotes and some motivational statements in which could get you in that right direction in that rough street way. Yo, son, I swear to you, son, don't let me catch you in the street, son. Word to your mother, because I swear, word to your mother, I'm going to help her. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to make sure that everything, oh my God, you don't even know how much I'm going to pray for your moms, for real, son. Oh, don't let me catch you out there. Oh my God, if I catch you out there in them streets, son, yo, I swear I'm going to help carry your groceries for real. Take a listen to other motivational antidotes to help you get along your way. What you want to do now, my dude? What you want to do now? You want me to help you balance your checkbook? Huh? Because we could do that. Yeah, let's square up then. Come here, bring me your checkbook. I swear that I'm going to get you all lined up. Your check-ins and savings. Word of mine. I'm going to get you all lined up, son. Don't test me, because I will. I'll balance it. I'll balance your checkbook for real. Take a listen on how the Good Thug could also get your household priorities organized. Oh, my God, son. I'm going to run up in your crib, and I'm going to just air it out. I'm going to open up the windows. I'm going to make it smell fresh. I'm going to move the furniture around. Yo, when we move furniture, that means it's popping. So I'm going to feng shui it. I'm going to make sure that everything's in a proper angle so you can get positive vibes, son. Yo, word to me, I'm going to get it done, son. How else can the Good Thug help you out? Well, check out how he'll help you out professionally. Yo, my G. Oh, you stressing me out right now, for real. So I'm going to really put my hands on your TDA right now. Seriously. How is it that you just putting in such a low percentage on that TDA? Yo, you are wilding, son. Yo, listen, what we need to do is, yo, bring your paperwork over. We're going to get your TDA up. So by the 10-year annually, your percentage rate to go up, and you'll be able to sit back on your retirement the proper way. Not this bullshit that you already laid out. Damn. And finally, listen to how the Good Thug could help you out in those romantic situations. So wait, you gonna take Shorty out on your first date ice skating? Yo, you a clown, son, ice skating. My dude, what you're supposed to do is take her to the movies and then take her to a dinner afterwards for the first date, because then you get to know each other. But you do the movies first and then the dinner so you have something to talk about. That's what you do, son. And yo, if you bring in flowers, no roses. That's pussy shit, son. My nigga, that is mad pussy. Bring lilacs or daisies. That shit's the flavor right there. Shorty gonna be riding you hard body, but not on some sex shit. She's just gonna be really liking you a lot. So if you don't want that hood thug mentality, get the good thug now. The good thug at good thug on Twitter, his Facebook good thug, and on his Snapchat good thug. Yo, I'm telling you, I ain't no soft dude, son. I'm real. Yo, I gets it hot up in here in the kitchen, cause yo, I could, yo, my cookies are soft and they nice and scrumptious though, for real, son. I'm not pussy, y'all, for real. Stop looking at me like that, y'all, for real. By the way, I like the way you match your sneakers and your jacket. That shit's fresh though. You gotta, you know, keep it tied up like that. The Good Thug is brought to you by
the Regular Season Sportscast.
This is Velvet 478, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Give me a fucking mic! Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
I really try my best to stay away from social media discussions, debates, arguments, whatever you want to call it, whatever have you. But sometimes people just lure you in. I'm like Pacino in Godfather 3. When I think that I'm out, they pull me back in. So, this week's cutting a promo. I'm going to take the initial heading that I got when I was listening to Cornette this past week, where he discussed the differences between mark owners as to promoters who book wrestling shows, wrestling events, promotions, companies. So before I go into that, it's funny that this conversation happened, because the person that I had the conversation with would be a mark type of booker. So I'm having a conversation on, I'll shout out my boy, Jose Tito Torres. He's one of the admins at Knights of the Square Circle Facebook group page. And someone had posted a comment about Jade Cargill, and they were talking about how she's lifted the AEW division and she's the one that's making it better and blah, 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 blah. And I put a gif of where it's like, yeah, trash. And that's all I put. All I put was just that gif, just trash. And of course, we have to get the AEW marks who had to jump in on it. Now, mind you, listen, I put up a post, I put up a comment. So of course you're going to get the response. You give out there, you got to be ready to take it. Fuck, this is the reason why I do a podcast. I mean, honestly, if I'm out in the world and somebody runs up on me and says, yo, you know, that take on such and such, yo, I disagree. I think it's you and I can have a conversation, which is fine. Okay. And I'm going to shout this dude out, because apparently, I don't know if this is your real name or if this is your gimmick or it's whatever, but Ray Stoner responds to me and my gif, because apparently my gif shook his core, where he had to comment on what I wrote and made it seem as though that I'm just some WWE mark or some WWE shill. And I had to basically break down to him. I'll give you a quick synopsis of him. Then go watch Becky defend the belt against Doudrop or Liz. Go watch the Miz wrestle Edge. So, you know, I wanted to have a conversation with the guy. So I go, hey, Ray, tell me what makes Cargill so great. And somebody writes, you know, what do you compare Jay to? And I said, Goldberg. And I said, that's not a good thing. I've been saying it for the longest. She's like Goldberg. They got the look, they had a physique, and they have a presence, which is necessary in wrestling. But when you put them in the ring, they were shit. Goldberg was shit. He knew it. Promoters knew it. Eric knew it. Kevin Sullivan knew it. That's why they put him in matches that lasted only 3 fucking minutes. They knew he was shit. This is why they're doing the same thing with Jade Cargill. Then we have, she does a whole lot more in the ring than Goldberg did. Really? Let's have this conversation then. What more does she do? And I want to give my boy JV Lewis from St. Louis. I would love to have this conversation with him because I know he's a fan of her as well. But he's also a fan of women's wrestling. And I would like to know his comparison of, and we'll do it on the show soon, of her compared to other females in the ring. But yes, presentation-wise, look, appearance, and everything, it's she looks great. She's outstanding. She has an appeal. But as a wrestler, she's garbage. Ray writes, bro, it's obvious he's not watching her. These type of people are straight up muted when it comes to the WWE, though. Okay, now you hit a nerve. Usually, I don't like to have these conversations on social media because, once again, I love to just share my thoughts and opinions on TurboCo Tabloid. This is why I've been doing it for almost 5 years and also why I'm 320 some odd episodes deep, even more, on this podcast. I'm not at WWE, Mark, you fucking twit. I'm a wrestling fan. I've been a wrestling fan since I was 7, 8 years old. God, I'm old. So I respond, Warren McDonald, really? This is another guy who jumped in. Let's name it. I get it. She's good looking. She doesn't, I understand, you know, that she has an appeal. But that doesn't overshadow the fact that she's less than average as a wrestler. She has a less than average moveset. She can't work without someone making her look good. Her best match was with Thunder Rosa, in which it's because Thunder Rosa's a pro. And she has less than the 5 moves of Doom. Then Rave responds, bro, WWE ain't shit but the 5 moves of Doom. Get the fuck out of here. You just seen Brock give Bobby Lashley 15 Germans. You just seen Boartime Bex do the same. Okay, Ray, first off, I'm a wrestling fan. Not some WWE mark. Listen to the podcast and learn more about it. I'm not saying Brock is great either, but he knows how to work. He can sell when he needs to, as well as he knows how to work with others. Check his matches with Balor and Danielson recently, right? Also, Brock has 20 years in the business, and 20 years ago, he was a wrestling phenomenon, a fucking juggernaut. He's older now. He has an outside outstanding career outside of wrestling that transitions back into the ring where he doesn't need to do more moves than he used to. And he could carry a match. Don't compare Cargill to Lesnar. That's just blasphemy. These are the type of individuals that if you gave them a wrestling promotion to run, if you gave them the money and had them, you know, we'll give you a start off of $500,000. Book it any way you want to. This is the talent you could get for X amount of dollars. This is what you do. We'll have you fantasy book, whichever way you want. Hell, I would love to see how you guys book once 2K22 comes out on your GM mode. I would love to see how you guys book. Because it'll be very interesting on how you guys book. Because differences between bookers who are marks and bookers who are promoters. I've been comparing this to the longest time where you, if you ever played Madden and you go into franchise mode, they give you 3 options. They give you as a lifelong fan, they give you as a financial guy, and they give you as a guy who's had a career in football. And each one has its own parameters and own personalities to which you can build your franchise with. The lifelong fan caters to the fandom, cares about the city it's in, and placates more to the fan base, to where the financial guy goes for the, you know, what makes it better financially, spending money salary wise, upkeep for the stadium. They look at the dollar signs, and a longtime football guy who is an owner is a guy who knows about legacy, who brings in guys who might not be the best of the best, but can work their position, who knows how to make a system work. The same can be said about guys who are believing that they're bookers for wrestling promotions. You're either a mark for the fans or you are a promoter who's trying to get money. A dude like Ray Stoner is a guy who is a mark, and he would mark out just to get the fans happy. That doesn't bring in money. Doesn't bring in money. Yeah, you'll get a strong fan base. And with that fan base, are they going to spend money? Sure, they'll buy merch. Sure, they'll buy a ticket. But where's the longevity at? Fans will turn on you quickly. Fans will, on a drop of a dime, especially in this rapid pace of social media and such, fans will turn on you on a dime. This is why WWE is having their problems, because their fan base turns on a dime. You guys sat there and bitched and moaned, and I was going to save it for the Royal Rumble rundown, but I'll touch on it here. You guys bitch and moan about, I'm tired of seeing the same people come in and take the limelight and take the shine from guys who are trying to get established on the roster, guys like a Cesaro, Ricochet, Kevin Owens, and such. I'm tired of seeing a Brock Lesnar, a Ronda Rousey come in and do all that. But as soon as Big E wins a title, you guys are, yeah, that was good. So who's next? Who else can we give the title? You didn't even give the man his fucking time to actually have some kind of longevity with the title. You're already sick of him and was like, okay, what's next? And don't sit there and blame WWE for booking him or how they book him. Because you know what? In any case, you should be on those, as much as you quickly to bitch about something on social media, you should be going to WWE and telling them, let's get Big E, let's get Kevin Owens, let's get Cesaro, let's get Ricochet, let's get these guys in better runs, let's get them in better angles, let's get them in better storylines. But instead, what you're doing is you're pretty much set on bitching about, well, you know, okay, I'm tired of this person, they already had their shine, who's next? Doesn't work that way. You think WWE doesn't pay attention to social media? How do you think Kofi got over the last time? How do you think Daniel Bryan got over the last time? Of course they pay attention to social media. Of course they have their analyticals when it comes to that. Of course they do. Why do you think Mustafa was about to get the push before he got injured? Of course they pay attention to that. Of course they know once it happens, they see the dip that happens on the the analyticals that tell you whether or not we're still fans of this person or we still. What makes you look at what they're doing with Roman? The fan base is still loving Roman more than anything. Yeah, that's their boy. They finally got what they want, where they push Roman to the limit. Of course. And they finally got to the point where it was like, yeah, you know what? You make him heel, he's better. They finally fucking listened and they said, you know what? Let's go to this direction. They finally said, you know, Paul might be right. Heyman might be right by saying that Roman should be a heel. Let's work with him this way. Let him talk. Don't give him a script. But we've been bitching about it on social media for the longest. And they finally listened. But when it comes to WWE sitting there talking about, we need to make a move, we need to shift, change gears and shift over, it's because you people bitched about it. That's the problem when it comes to promotional booking, because it's all about the dollar. As soon as Ronda came out on that Rumble. The place lost their shit. None of you guys booed. Everybody lost their fucking shit in that arena. When Brock came out as a 30th entrant in the Royal Rumble, the place popped. Nobody said shit. Shane McMahon came out. Nobody shut the fuck up or nobody booed. They popped. And you know what? WWE heard that. And that's all they cared about. They get that pop. It's like Pavlov's law. You know what that is? It's, I'll teach you some science. A lot of you people don't fucking get into science since you want to, you know, disregard what science is. Pavlov's law is basically when you are accustomed to something, you are in, you become part of the ritual of following the exercise of being part of the practice. It was a experiment that was done where a mouse would hear the sound of a bell and automatically race through the maze and know how to get to the cheese. Pavlov's law in wrestling is as soon as you hear a theme song, you're already triggered to pop. They've trained you to pop. That's what happens with wrestling fans when they're accustomed to seeing certain individuals. Now, when it comes to booking as a mark, like I said earlier, yeah, they're loyal, but they're loyal to a fault because they will turn on you. They'll be part of the show. Then the audience is also smaller. It's a tighter community. Yeah, it's cool that, you know, as wrestling fans, I could walk down a block and have on an AJ Styles shirt and somebody will have a Bullet Club shirt and we both look at each other and give them like, yeah, we're wrestling fans. But it's not a whole, it's not the same equivalent as us wearing football jerseys or baseball jerseys because we have a loyalty to said thing and we don't turn on that. Wrestling fans change, they turn, and it's a small community. The numbers tell you on ratings, the numbers tell you in the audience, the numbers tell you when in ticket sales. Yeah, sure. If AEW is gonna book the Garden. Of course you're going to get a sellout because it will be a first-time event happening there. But do it habitually, do it as a routine, the numbers will dwindle. They'll lose money because the fan base will start disregarding it. And then when you book to the fans as a mark, you book to the fans, it's fantasy booking all the time, without having a storyline, without having a continuous arc in which you can build off of, and you're just doing one shots, which is just getting your fantasy match going. For instance, the Marks love the fucking Britt Baker, Adam Cole team up because, what, you know, you heard on social media, oh, why don't we just have the couples face off against somebody? And, you know, they booked it. Yeah. No build up. It was just boom, give them what they got. You get fucked raw and then all of a sudden you come in 2 minutes and that's it. Whoop. Match over. There's no buildup, no foreplay, no nothing. It's just boom. Stick my dick in, boom. Done in 2 minutes. Over. No, that was great. You want to make a sandwich? Want to take a nap? That's what booking as a mark does. All you do is you're catering to that one shot, being like, oh, I'm going to just get my money and run. There's no longevity. This is why... You know, say what you want about WWE. Hell, you can say what you want about Impact. Impact's still around. They find a way. These motherfuckers, although they're backed by a network, they still find a way to still be around. They're still here. Ring of Honor had long-standing fucking rivalries. Although they didn't have, you know, sellouts of 20,000, 25,000, 30,000 in the arena, they still were able to bridge that gap between promoting as a promoter and promoting as a mark. They found ways to do that. You see it everywhere, even in these indie shows. Now, I give it to indie promoters because they don't have that time to book for longevity because it's a lot of spot shows and you got to book, you know, a fantasy match. You have to do it. It's just, you got to get your money and run. I get that. I understand that. You know, but when it comes to the companies that have the long-standing presence, then learn how to book as a promoter and not as a mark. Learn how to book as a person who's trying to make money, not just feed the fucking the fan base and have them come before they should. It's just that simple. It becomes one of those things where you become tiresome on just one-shotting matches, and you go, okay, now that that's done. And a lot of times when you one-shot a match, it's usually not as great as you think it is. It's like people who lose their virginity. It's like, yeah, I did it, but it's not as great as I thought it would be. Exactly. You got it off and that was it. It's over now. Now you got to learn how to do the real shit. Well, you got to go into foreplay. You got to learn how to kid. You got to know how to manipulate something. You got to learn how to do all this stuff for you to get the big payoff in the end. And then you could go, wow, and smoke this fucking cigarette or smoke the blunt or have a beer afterwards and be like, shit, that was great. That is what wrestling is. Stop promoting, you know, to the marks when in all reality, the end of the day, you want to be in the black. You don't want to be in the red. Business terms, being a black means getting a profit. You don't want to be in the red. Red is not good. Black is good. Red is not good. Red is only good on Turnbuckle Tablet. But as for business wise, black is good. I love my wrestling fans because some of you are so naive. To what really, you don't even know what they're feeding you. Sometimes you're being force fed either filet mignon or you force fed fucking white rice without any side. You're just, and you'd be lucky to get the white rice with no side. It'll just be dry rice without it being cooked. And you guys will be like, oh, this is fucking delicious shit. It's almost like Thanksgiving is here. This is great. I love it. No, bookers need to start either recognizing what they're doing and knowing what they're doing and knowing their base, or realize, listen, this is the time that I got, and either I'm going to be doing it for the peoples, doing it for me, or I'm trying to get some money out of this. This is what I'm saying. I can't change anybody's opinion about it unless they, you know, they want to be changed or they want to think about it. But other than that, at the end of the day, they just going to book as they book. When we come back, I'm going to review Royal Rumble as well as have a, you know, it's that time of the month. No, I'm not on my period, but it's that time of month, ladies and gentlemen. Our guy, Hank Flanagan, stops in for Hank's Happy Hour. I have much to talk about with him. Go a little bit more in depth about being a wrestler and having relationships as well as what you've been up to and much, much more. So guys, stick around. We'll be back in a sec. Hey guys, if you are an up and coming artist and you want to share your talents with the world, you know, here at Turnbuckle Tablet, we love playing people's music. We do it for anyone who has talent and is inspired to just share their love for music and their passion here at Turnbuckle Tablet. Although we're a wrestling show, we do enjoy our music. Oski and I are aficionados and connoisseurs of good music. So if you want to play your music on Turnbuckle Tabloid, make sure you check us out at Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And you just check out our tiers and just give us some love, and we'll show you love by playing your music to the masses who listen to us here at our little goofy podcast. So if you're a big musician and you just want to share it to the masses, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And one hand washes the other, and we'll make sure that people hear your talents.
This is the good old Jar, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Good
Royal Rumble review, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you a man who may or may not have enjoyed this year's Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble is one of those pay-per-views that I look forward to every year. And growing up, it was about the surprises. It was looking forward to the outcome. It's also one of those events that you can actually have fun. If you're one of those gamblers, you want to bet on it. It's cool. Shout out to brother AJ and Maddie who won the Royal Rumble this year in our Turnbuckle Tabloid contest. You guys have prizes coming to you soon, and everyone who partook this year, it was pretty fun. I know a lot of people were looking forward to their number being called and being the winner, but we saw what WWE went to this year. This is what I'm talking about. Booking as a promoter. There's always a gift and a curse when it comes to each one. So when being a fan of the Royal Rumble, I look for it more. I can say I look forward to it more than I would WrestleMania because of the suspense, the surprise, the possibility of being shocked. You know, and it's, I don't know. I think that the past few years, it's lost its luster. Although in many instances, there were some matches that were predictable. But I also say that there's also some that you were like, oh, okay, they didn't see that. Because regardless of what you think, your favorite is not going to win. They're not. It's just, unless you're Oski and you love Drew McIntyre. Other than that, your favorite is not going to win. They're always going to lop to what they build, what they're building to, or who they feel will be the better matchup at WrestleMania. It's, you might as well just enjoy the presentation and, rather than the outcome. This year's Royal Rumble was no different, ladies and gentlemen. So, leading up to Royal Rumble, we had the Universal Championship match kicking it off as the curtain jerker. We had Seth Rollins versus the champ, Roman Reigns. And the big pop from that was Seth's entrance coming in as the Shield with, you know, the whole gimmick, the theme music. He had the gear, everything. He was hooked up. Crowd pop. I know people at home pop. It was cool. I'm not going to lie that I actually sat there. And I was like, oh, fucking Seth. And for me to go fucking Seth, that just goes to show you like that made me feel like a fan at that moment. Then we get into the match, and far be it for me to say, but the match was really compelling. It was I was involved in it up and down. You almost had the feeling, especially when you had the pinfall in which Roman was like a millisecond away from being counted down. I thought the match was exciting. It was fun. It left you in a lock, and it was nostalgic because there was a lot of callbacks to the Shield breakup, Seth doing his old moves and such. I was a real big fan of this for it to kick off. And the finish, I know a lot of people were not happy because it's like, oh, you know, why would it finish like that? Fuck Roman. This is bullshit. It's not the way. And I was telling Wrestling Fan Frank, I said, you have to, a lot of fans need to listen to the match, not just watch it. Because now Roman is a guy who talks more. He is giving more of a story verbally as well as with his movements, with his movesets and reasoning. And that's what's making Roman more of a draw and appeal to wrestling these days. Because if you get more in tune and in line of what Roman's story is, it's better for your matches. He's talking shit. He's not giving a fuck. You letting him riff. You letting him rip. And that's actually been good for him and the product. You know, you hear him, he's choking him out, and the referee's like, let him go. He's like, no, he don't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. No. Then he came back and he did the chair shots and all. It's somewhat of a redemption story. And I'm like, I'm with it. I want to see this continue. I'm with the fact that they could keep this going on. To me, that match was, you know, compared to what they've done recently, this is a great match and a great curtain jerker. I thought it was a great kickoff to the show. We get the Women's Royal Rumble match. And usually I would give shit to women's matches because WWE is there. They don't really do them right. It's not because I'm kind of sexist or whatever. It's because WWE does not do them right. When there's a good women's match, I praise it. When there's a really phenomenal women's match, I praise it. But it's not the fault of the fan who watches it and like, yeah, this is shit. It's no, the women aren't treated right by WWE because they rushed him through. This time around for the Women's Royal Rumble, you got everything. You got the surprises. You got the returnings. By the way, Ivory was my crush for years. I think I might have spanked it a few times to her. Just saying. That woman's 60? She's 60? I'll take it down. Hammer down, hard body, wet hammer and all. I would take it down. Woofa. I don't even know why she came out with that shit. With that gimmick. She could have came out with her old school shit and I'd have been fucking drooling. Then you get the returning. Wait, hold on a second. Let me fix my pants. The boner went up a little bit. You know, we had the other appearances. You had Cameron, you had Melina, Kelly, which, by the way, Kelly had so much spray tan on her, I could have swore she was Puerto Rican. I didn't even know that was her. The shock was that Sasha was eliminated a little bit sooner than we expected. We also got the return of Ronda Rousey. I called it. No, that was happening. Once again, y'all popped for it. So, and you know, WWE so numb that even if you booed it, they would say, that's heel heat, pal. Like, no, they don't want her there. But also, it's with the women's division, they fucking got rid of so many people that, you know, you might as well just stop throwing people in there. Speaking of getting rid of, it was so cool to see Sarah Logan in there. That was cool that they brought her back. Hopefully, maybe down the line that they find a way to bring her back because she's actually a talented wrestler. So she earned it, man. She earns her stripes. Of course, Ronda comes in and, what do you know? Who's going to win? Ronda Rousey. You might not like what I'm going to say here, but it makes sense. Yes, we want the Liv Morgan story. I think the Liv Morgan story is going to run more rampant through Becky. We want to see Liv Morgan get the title through Becky's run. But in the main angle right now, Ronda going against Charlotte on SmackDown makes better sense. SmackDown wants that appeal. Fox wants that appeal. They need that appeal. We're looking for maybe the return of Bayley. It'll make it interesting. Sasha's there. So let's see what happens. I, myself, would love to see Shayna Baszler get more love in there. Maybe with Ronda coming back, there we could get that pairing. We saw an inkling of maybe a pairing, maybe some dissension. Who knows? But if this is where it's a toy box for a creative person, where you can make so much stuff happen with just those individuals there, those bodies there. You can make so much stuff happen. Ronda gets the win here, and we are not surprised. Many of us are not surprised about this. Next up, we get Becky Lynch versus Doudrop for the Raw Women's Championship. And a lot of people were like, whether the fans are taken out of it, they're bored by it. To me, the match was solid. I thought it was a good match to follow up after, being a part of such a big Royal Rumble. But then, it's usually that time where, it was a long match. People are going to go get their drinks or their concession stand shit, or they're going to go to a bathroom, whatever. And it kind of sucks for that. For that match for it to occur, because there was such importance to it. But then we come to find out that the WrestleMania sign was fucking melting. Can we do anything right here, WWE? Honestly, you are a mega million, billion dollar company, and we don't have fire safety protocols. Come on. This is Bush League shit, guys. Come on. Get your shit together. Honestly. To me, I thought the match was well done. People are like, oh, can we just get Doudrop's name changed back to Piper Nevin? They're not going to change it to Piper Nevin because her name is Piper, and it's going to remind people of Roddy Piper. It's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. Unless they change her, give her just Nevin, which would be okay. I'm just not acclimated with still calling her Doudrop. It's almost, I don't know. I'm kind of offended by it in a certain way, really. In the end, Becky pulls off the win. But I still think that she really is one of those that, she's one of those that's super, super over with the fan base, and I think there's going to be a lot more coming her way if they allow it to. Then we get Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. This is the match I was so worried about, because I'm like, oh God, are they going to keep the strap on fucking Brock because they want to unify the belts? Fast forward to Monday Night Raw. Tick-tock. Then I thought about it. I said, let me keep it locked in with my initial thought, which would be that Roman will interfere in this match. I was somewhat right, because yes, Roman did interfere, but with the help of Paul Heyman. Before that occurred, I was into it. I was into the big beefy men going at it. The only thing that kind of bothered me was I'm not sure whether or not he wanted to take those bumps that way, but the way Lashley was taking the Germans, he was landing awkwardly. It wasn't on his back like he was taking flat back bumps. So I'm possibly believing that maybe he was protecting an injury or protecting a possibility that he could injure himself one way. He was taking the Germans in a weird way. But other than that, I was also surprised that I thought the match would go shorter than it did, but it went longer. And I was thankful for that. I want to have this belief and thought that this would have been maybe, and not to have it in great comparison to, but somewhat of, I wanted it to be as though it was like Hogan versus Warrior kind of thing, like that kind of, you know, big muscle bound guys going at it and shit, and we could have had some kind of exchange. And although both are more athletic and both are more talented than argue what you want, Brock and fucking Lashley are better, more talented than Hogan and fucking Warrior. I wanted it to see a little bit more, and it was building up to that way. I'm hoping that later on we could see, and not too far gone, because both of these men are in their 40s already, so we're about to be in the 40s. I know Bobby's my age, and Brock is not too far behind. I would want to see that we can get that match where they can exchange and do back and forth, and maybe give us at least a 10-minute match, a little bit more. Winner of this match is Bobby Lashley, the new WWE champion, due in part to Roman Reigns interfering and Paul Heyman handing the WWE championship to Roman to help assault Brock Lesnar after a referee bump. I'm not mad at it at all. I'm not. I'm more interested in seeing how this is going to play out, because I'm one of those, I don't want a unification match. I would prefer that the titles stay separate. I would prefer that each brand has their own, because unless you're going to have it to where that person jumps from show to show, I prefer to have it separately, and hopefully talents get to have that opportunity for the title separately, because WWE has not been able to have one title branch off on both shows. Now everybody's talking about, well, they need to end the brand split. Okay, you end the brand split, but then what? How are you going to showcase your talent? You still have an abundance of a roster. And if you do, then more cuts are going to happen, which is going to happen anyway, but you're going to have to thin out the herd. We then get Edge and Beth going up against Miz and Maryse. I'm going to be honest with you. The first time this was occurring, I fucking fell asleep. I was knocked the fuck out. I had to work that night, and I took a nice little nappy nap. I watched it later and didn't really miss that much. I was like, okay, I took a nap for a reason. Edge and Beth Phoenix get the win here. I'm hoping that that just popped the crowd, got it over with, and moved on. I would have been fixed that this match was after the Women's Royal Rumble. I think it would have been better aligned if it went that way, because you would have still had people on their feet to watch this match as opposed to Becky and Doudrop, and you should have gave Doudrop and Becky their rightful fix right before the Men's Royal Rumble. And plus, like, people who really didn't give a fuck about this, excuse me, people who didn't really give a fuck about this match could have went to go take a shit. Just saying. Then finally, we get the men's Royal Rumble. Now, watching this, I already had a sense that something was wrong with this match. I already said that guys didn't look comfortable here. I think the women held their match better. I think they held it together better. But the men looked like they were lost. You know, there's already conversation saying that matches were changed on the fly at least 30 times during the day. And when you have a Royal Rumble match, it's if you don't have professionals, veterans who have been in these situations for, you know, X amount of years, there's going to be a lot of confusion. But you could tell during this match that they were all over the place. There were spots to where look at the Kofi spot. Kofi couldn't do his signature Royal Rumble spot. And you know what? We knew that was going to happen. It was bound to happen sooner or later. That was going to go down. And maybe it's probably that time and where we have to say, yeah, we have to put the cigarette out on that shit. It's over. Even so, you still have to have a match that is compelling. We didn't get any big surprises that we thought we were going to get. We were sold a bill of goods on that. It's unfortunate because that's the match in which we thought that would have happened. The only big surprise was that Brock came out in 30. Whoop-de-doo, because I fucking called that shit out. The only winner that I said would have made logical sense winning besides Brock would have been Big E. You'd have gave him his redemption run and giving him a push again. But once you saw him being placed on SmackDown again, once again, this is why I'm telling you guys. You guys don't support the shit that you wanted to happen. You don't support it. It's same thing with the Drew McIntyre thing. Drew McIntyre got the title. Everybody's like, yeah. And then everybody blames and says, well, you know, it was during the Thunderdome era. Don't matter. You didn't support it. This is why, you know, numbers go down, merch goes down, followings go down, and they look at social media and everybody bitches and moans. And then WWE says, well, got to bring in the big guns now. Got to bring in Ronda, bring in Brock. And this is what happens. So stop bitching and moaning and start showing love to your peoples that you fucking gave kudos to before they got the title run. I can't imagine if any of these other guys got the title and, you know, once it occurs that, yeah, it's over. It's done with. Brock comes in at 30, cleans house. Shane McMahon came in at, 27, 28, and he got a fucking pop. And apparently he got heat because of what happened. He was involved in it with the booking of the match and such. So that's another one to blame. But you popped for him. He comes in, no sells a super kick. All right, Super Shane. Brock comes in, Bad Bunny comes in, everybody comes in, and all of a sudden Brock comes in, clears house, and boom, it's over with. I mean, come on. The writing was on the wall, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the writing was on the wall. Your winner of the Men's Royal Rumble for 2022 is Brock Lesnar. And you know what? It makes sense. Honestly, makes sense. You didn't give it to Big E. You would thought it would happen, but you know that storyline where Brock and Roman still got to run. Why do they keep giving it to part-timers? I laugh because the biggest meme that I saw was congratulations to WWE for opening up the forbidden door to the UFC. And I'm like, yeah, kind of makes sense. Although Brock was a WWE upstart, he did go to UFC and come back. But yeah. If you're going to blame anybody for the reasoning why WWE books the shit that they waited to do, blame yourselves, because at the end of the day, you still buy their merch. You still don't support the fan favorites. And honestly, you still watch the pay-per-views and you still cheer Vince McMahon when he comes out instead of booing the fuck out of him. Why are they booing me, pal? Because you're shit. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with our guy, Hank Flanagan. He stops by to once again discuss what's going on in his day-to-day. Happy New Year to him. And we'll talk more down the line. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. See you guys in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, the answer to your prayers is here. My name is Ariella Nix, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid.
What do you mean you fell in love with your realtor?
When we got the dog initially, we drove out 3 hours to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. I drove
3 hours in her car, and she's preparing for the dog, and you know I'm holding the dog, and she's sighing her like she's doing this on purpose. Like, yeah, let me say she's like, oh, there's no need. Like, the dog will be in her name.
Right,
like,
right.
I didn't see the signs coming. Like, the dog will be in my name just in case we break up. You know what I mean? Like, she was preparing for this. You know what I mean? It was cold. It was khaki. It was mean. You know what I mean? And I've read from multiple sources, breakup sources, that when a man breaks up with a woman, it's very instant. It's like, get out of my house or get out of my life or I'm leaving.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. I can attest to that. Yeah.
When a woman breaks up with you, there's a huge, like, it could be 6 months. Like, she's like, in 6 months, he's out of here.
Right.
Like, and I was like, really? And it's like a lot of women I've written. It's like, yeah.
There's a plan.
There's a plan. There's a huge plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just in case if I need him.
We do it on instinct. There is calculated.
Like, there is extremely calculated. Yeah. Like, she starts seeing somebody else. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're things,
the seeds are being planted.
I'm preparing, you know. And
the things that you thought were gross before becomes extremely disgusting now. And it's, like, forcing you, like, to. And rather than just say directly, all right, get the fuck out, it's like you're getting ready to see if you're going to do it on your own. But if you don't do it, and it's like, yeah, this has happened. Now you got to go.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. And, you know, and they don't, like, women never want to seem like the bad guys. Never.
Oh, that's...
Never, like, and I know that's a general thing and blah, blah, blah.
Well, what you call it? What is it? How male chauvinistic of you.
No, that's absolutely true. Like, I'll give you an example. There was a person I was hanging out with in wrestling, and he's a fireman, right? And he had this girl over, and this girl liked to play in the snow, let's just say. Mm. And she liked to play in the snow so much that she was showing signs of an overdose. Like, I was like, her mouth was foaming. It was really bad.
For 1 second, I literally started believing that she was waiting for winter for snow to come down. And then it was like 1 second, and I go, no, I know what he's talking about.
So, but she had said something, and I'm glad she was honest about it. You know, my friend's a fireman and a wrestler, and he was just like, yeah, well, because I know they used to date, and I'm like, you know, and she's trying to kind of sneak back in a way, but not, you know what I mean? Like, she's in and out, but, like, you know, like, she's a wreck, right? She's a fucking wreck. And she had said, I couldn't be with somebody who didn't know how they were going to pay the rent. And she admitted, like, this, that's fucked up.
Right.
It's absolutely fucked up. But as a young woman, I, like, you know, it's part of the whole, I need security kind of, you know, I need excitement, but I also need security.
Right.
Like, be a bad boy, but have a regular well-paying job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and I was like, well, he became a fireman and he's a wrestler. And she said she actually felt resentful because she doesn't like her job. And, you know, he was bragging about it. Like, you know, and he was, I know this person. I know he wasn't bragging. He was just like, he was very excited, which made him sound like he was bragging.
Well, that he got a fucking dream job that he
been, yeah, dream job, and also like working his other dream job, yeah. You know, like, and she's like, well, dude, fine, like, you're 32. Welcome to the party. Welcome to being an adult. And I was just
can
like,
can you imagine
that? I was just like, and I was looking at her. I was like, you like, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you miserable cunt. Like, yeah, you know, like, you miserable, miserable cunt. Seriously, it's just like, you know, like, he wasn't good enough for you then because he didn't have the, you know, he didn't have the right credentials, but now he does and he's happy about it. Now, like, I'm miserable still, like, you know what I mean? Like, because now most likely he wouldn't give you the time of day, like, because life changed, like, and that happens a lot. Like, yeah, I have this horrible fantasy of, like, I know there are going to be women in my DMs when things happen for me.
Mm.
That used to leave me unseen. I'm not a bad looking guy,
but they're not.
Actually, I'm very handsome.
I find you attractive.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people find me attractive, but attraction.
I'm not moist yet, but
attraction.
It can get there.
To women is multiple things. He's got to look good. He's got to have this. He's got to have that. He's got to have this. He's got to have that.
Your personality could be shit, though. That's all right.
Well, you know, mine.
You make it up. Yeah, you can make it up in the back end.
My personality is fantastic.
You make it up in the back nine. Don't
I'm
worry about
well
it.
I'm well-spoken. I'm intelligent. I'm funny.
You make it up in the back nine.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Not even that. But I'm fourth quarter comes out. I'm the one driving four touchdowns into the end zone, all right?
You're Al Bundy. Four touchdowns in one game.
Yeah.
No.
And that's because what women value, right? What women value is... We're very visual creatures. Women want security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women will be with somebody and openly admit they're not physically attracted to them.
That bothers me.
Men,
that
if
bothers me a
I
lot.
I guarantee you, if a man is with what we consider an ugly woman, I'm like, I know she makes his dick hard. Like, as much as he doesn't want to admit it.
Right.
As much as, like, you know, that's why I stopped lying about, like, Mario, you know, he likes fat girls. I'm like, yeah, you know why? Because it makes my fucking dick hard, and I'm not going to argue with my dick.
I'm in the chubby chaser.
I like all women, you know.
Yeah, but I'm in the chubby chaser.
Yeah, you know, but I have a preference.
Yeah,
but it's just like, well, I'm not. And I told my cousin, my cousin was laughing. He's like, because they agreed. Like, my cousin and his wife, he was just like, yeah, I'm not going to argue with my. It's either your approval or my dick. Like, and my dick wins 110% of the time.
Yeah, but that's what separates us because of that.
Well, I mean, that had a lot of growing. I was
yeah,
had
yeah,
a lot
that
of
separates like, us with that. But I also because
once you're just like, you know, you ever meet the guy in school who's like everybody's cracking on him about his shirt. He's like, yeah, I like this shirt.
Right.
It's like, yeah, faggot. And it's like, call me faggot again. Yeah, bah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, bro, that's a cool shirt. Like,
Did you ever, like, get your woman who... You know how you as men, we like to make our woman feel good. We say,
yeah.
Hey, beautiful, how yeah. are you? Did you ever get that, you know, reciprocated the same way where a woman
yeah.
says, hey, handsome, how's that?
Yeah. She said, called me handsome all the time.
You know what? I've never gotten that. And mind you, I've had multitude, you know, of women relationships and such like that. And I've done pretty well. Like, if you know... I have a child, but also like I've done well when I came with women. I haven't had hags. I've had like some really.
I've had a hag.
Huh?
I've had a hag.
No, I've had.
I've had one hag.
I don't want to say that about her.
I don't want to say that about
her. I've dived on a few grenades, but I'm talking about someone.
Like, I'll tell you a story. It was in high school.
By the way, if you guys don't know, we're here with fucking Hank Flanagan.
Really? You've been recording this whole fucking time, you cunt?
Exactly. I told you I was going on.
No, why? What did I say?
You didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, right.
By the way, of course, Hank's Happy Hour. We're sitting back in again. And
no, there was this girl in high school I was in love with, but I wasn't in love with her. She just rejected me, and it pissed me off to no end.
Right.
And I was like, then I was so upset about it. And then when I finally got her, I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, oh, no. Like, oh, man. Like looking back on it, it was like, if I was like, dude, there's plenty of them out here. Let her reject you. So what? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I've dived in a few grenades. But what I'm talking about is like, if someone I was with was like, you know, relationship wise, as someone that we've I've had my fair share of spicy filet mignons. I've had some prime steak, and I've had to the point where, you know, guys go, "How the fuck did you get that?" I've had that, but with that being said, I've never had that attention to where a woman has told me like, "Hey, handsome, hey, you know." I don't know if that's a woman thing. Do women do that? But you said they've said it to
I've
you.
I've had it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like,
well,
I mean, I get it. I look like fucking Uncle Fester and fucking Homer Simpson had a kid. I get it.
Speaking of the Simpsons, what I was saying before, I always have this thought where, you know, some people don't like generalizations. Some people hate it. It's like, well, we're all different. Yes and no. We're not all different, but yeah, we are different. Individually, we're different. Yeah, like Puerto Ricans like platanos.
Well, I don't like platanos.
It's like, yeah, but like most of them do.
Is that generalization or is that stereotype?
I don't know. Like, platanos are pretty fucking good. Pretty tasty.
By the way, platanos is more Dominican than
really?
Dominican. Yeah, it's
more. No, I ate platanos all the time.
Yeah, but it's more of a Dominican thing.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Come on. What?
It's always been, platanos has always been related more to Dominicans than it has been Puerto Ricans.
I gotta find a Dominican.
Listen, I didn't fucking make the rules.
I gotta find a Dominican mommy then.
I didn't make the rules. What I'm leaning to is when we speak about the idea of a woman knowing what you're doing or what it is. I just shared on my personal page on Facebook where a woman spoke about how other women get angry when a guy that they're dealing with is a gamer. And it's like, she said it like literally, like, bitch, you came into his house seeing that 7-8 consoles that he has. What did you think that he would, you know, what did you think he was into?
You know, it's even, I used to read on Reddit, a big fear of mine is meeting a woman and inviting her into my imaginary apartment. Because I don't know if this is ever going to happen.
Your Castle Grayskull?
Yeah. No, just like, you know, I move into a nice apartment. I decorate it with things that I like the things that you like, yeah. You know, like, and then because I've read this on Reddit where it was just like, yeah, my girlfriend moved in. I went away for the weekend and she changed all my shit. Like, and that's why I don't think that people should just move into somebody else's place. I think you guys should get a place together so it's our place.
Right.
Right? And yeah, I know it's played as a trope on sitcoms where it's just like, yeah, can I have my big Darth Vader poster here? She goes, yeah, in the closet. And it's just like, nah, like out here. Like,
but this is what I'm saying. If you know
and you that can't, this- And you can't be like, and that's the thing. It's just like, does he work? Yes. Does he look like a slob? No. Is he like, does he... If his time with you is just spent on video games, I could see her point.
Right.
Like she's getting angry at his hobby. Or she's like, oh, babe, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm playing Call of Duty. Why do you always got to play that game? Because I work hard and I want to.
Right. Like, but yeah, no. I get it that if it's all time consuming.
Yeah.
Right. That I get that because it's like, bro, I didn't sign up for that. I know you have your time and I have my time. I get that. But if we're not sharing time, then it's a problem.
No, of course.
That I get that.
Yeah.
But if you come in knowing that, you know, he used to be, you know, 80-20 doing whatever the fuck it is on his game time, and then he still wants to be 80-20 when I'm in your life, then that's a fucking problem.
No, yeah.
You know, I get it. Cut that shit down to fucking 35-40, and then you got to spend time with me.
No, I get that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like...
But the motherfucker's a gamer. He's going to be a gamer.
Yeah,
he's
yeah. Play. And he shouldn't have to not enjoy his hobbies because you came into his life.
Boo, don't get mad at me. You fall asleep. I wake up. I'm up, and I'm going to play an hour and a half on Call of Duty. Like, yeah. You know, don't sleep. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about what I'm doing.
I'm good.
Right? Or, like, you spend your money on pops, right? Your lights are paid. Your rent's paid.
Food in my belly.
Food in your belly, and hopefully a little bit of savings in the bank.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying you're rich Uncle Pennybags here.
Right.
But how you choose as a single man to spend your money, your daughter is taken care of.
Right.
She's got food in her belly, a place to stay, and a roof over her head and clothes on her back. nobody, person you're dating, me, could be like, yo, you spending all your money? I was like, I'm sorry, did you work for the, like, did you work for the money to, for, like,
right.
No, yeah, so then shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know, and that's how I feel. Like, I'm not saying you got to be like, yo, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to spend the last, you know, I'm going to spend the last dime on, you know. You know, it's like, dude, you got to pay your light bill. Like, you shouldn't be buying Funko
Pops. I'm about to pay $1,200 on this lightsaber.
It's like,
your rent is 15, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Your rent is. Your rent is. Yeah, seriously. What are you going to do with $300 for the next month? And it's just like, you're going to be like, you will be eating Lunchables. You'll be eating bologna and cheese every day. Like, do you, like, you know, when your friends are like, yeah, let's go out to lunch. And you're just like,
yeah, but you
sorry,
know,
bro. Like,
but,
you know, it's like, and I but, get like, but and I understand
other,
that. And,
but yeah, but the other thing too, when it came to like the, when I gave the example about the gamer, is like, you saw, you know, now that they're doing, you know, what they're doing in social media now is like they're doing the red flag shit. You walk in, it's like, that's the red flag. You pretty much know within the first, the first few weeks of you dealing with someone and you walk into their house, whatever, you already know, okay, what this is what this person is about.
Exactly.
And whether you'll say this is a problem or something I can deal with, that's what it is. You know, I always get this whole thing to where I get frustrated with this, I can change him or her, or I can, no, these motherfuckers ain't going, they're going to change. They're not going to change. That's just, it's not going to happen. I don't believe in that.
Change always comes from within.
Yeah.
Secondly, why would you want to be with somebody with the goal to change them? Why don't you find somebody you're more compatible with?
Right. That's
if what, you come if you come into somebody's home, and it's just like a woman who watches a lot of reality TV. You don't like reality TV, but she's not gonna. She shouldn't have to stop watching reality TV
because you don't like
because you don't like watching reality TV. It's just like why that's why people have two TVs in their home, or like, you know, I could go, hey, I'm gonna watch Jersey Shore. That's the last reality television. Because I was gonna say I was gonna say the Ultimate Fighter.
Okay, that's
but it's
good.
Like I like the Ultimate Fighter, right, so right. I was like, I can't even be like, oh, the Ultimate Fighter's on. This is great, you know. But no, I'm talking about trashy reality shows, like something a woman will watch.
Right. Right.
Not that it's bad TV. It's just like this is entertaining, and this is what she wants. This is, you know, she's had a long day at work. You know what I mean? And if I want to sit and rub her feet, it's just like. I don't want to watch this. Like, can we watch something else? And it's just like, okay, we're spending time together.
Right.
We'll watch something else. But when she's alone and she's like enjoying her TV, who am I to be like, yo, change the TV? And it's just like, bro, she's watching TV. Like, there's another room with a TV and video games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, there'd be a system in every room every room with the TV in the house. Right. Like, if the bedroom, like, you know, with my wife, it's just like, all right, there's a Super Nintendo. And, you know what I mean? If she falls asleep, or, you know, she could read a book, or I could read a book, or there's plenty of other, like, that's why men have garage, like, you know, it's like men have garages or right. whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm going to the garage to diddle on something. Why? It's because she's doing whatever she's doing. You know, it's like, I understand that, but when you enter somebody's home, and that's what I hate about these red flag ideas, like, you know, red flags are important. We should always pay attention
to
it.
It should be universally.
Red flags are important.
Right.
But what we're I think it's gotten out of hand, a hand of what we're calling red flags aren't really red flags. It's like, red flag, he has, like, you know, it's like he doesn't like blah, 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 you know?
I think it's just, like, silly. I think it's, like, a lot of red flag if he doesn't wear Jordans and he's into Adidas. Like those are just silly.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, you know, that I get. But when it comes to, one thing, red flag, you being a wrestler, that...
It's what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's what I'm going to do.
Like... Is it a red flag for you that a woman doesn't come see your matches?
Well, for the important ones, like, you don't have to show up to a, you know.
But what if that's just not her? Maybe there's a lot of things that she just doesn't want to see. Maybe she's not into it. Maybe she doesn't want to see you get hurt.
No.
Maybe she doesn't want
to,
you know.
Okay, understandable. Wouldn't want to be with that guy. I'm not saying drop everything to come see me work.
Right.
You know? But you know, hey, this is important to me. This one's important to me. It's like if she had a work party and wants to introduce me to all her work friends and her boss because she doesn't stop talking about me, right?
Right.
When she's like, hey, listen, I have a work party. I have a work party and I don't show up. And then she's like, yeah, that's like strike. That's a huge strike. Like you're like on, like if you have a strike too, then you're on thin ice. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this is like really important to me. Kind of like that. It's that's to me personally, you don't have to show up to every match, but to the important ones, like if I don't see you in the crowd, like my heart's broken. You know what I mean? Like I perform better. Like if I could see.
Yeah. But I also get that thing to where it's like, I'm one of those that I could be like, I get it. I understand.
And I understand too. But does it mean that, like, oh, this is someone I'm going to spend my time with, or I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? You know, like, I always thought about, like, you know, I'm kind of at that George Bailey point in my life where I'm 31, and I'm just like, I don't want to get married. And because I was in a relationship for a long time, and I'm like, right now, it's just like, and as much as I want a family, and I'm a traditional guy, and it's just like, right now, I don't want to get married. Right now, this minute, today, January...
Blah, 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 28th.
No, I don't want to know what day it is. 27th, the 27th of January. Right now, I, Hank Flanagan, doesn't want to get married.
Welcome to the club, bro.
Right now, I don't want to get married to anybody. You know, like right now, today. But tomorrow, my mind might change. You know, my heart might change. I hope it does. But I'm not counting on it. You know, I'm just not counting on it.
To me, it's...
Not to say that, oh, I'll never find anybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that right now I can't, like it's like, oh, focus on yourself. Like, I haven't focused on just me in a long time. I don't even know what that looks like sometimes.
But you've been focusing on you for some time, which is not bad.
No, but it's like I've really hit a reset button. Like, I had a match recently. It went really well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm building up on that, you know what I mean? I have to have new pictures taken. My pictures are very old. Mm. You know, it's just like, and I get to do that because I don't have somebody going like, oh, we got to, you know, I'm worried about somebody and their opinions.
Right.
And somebody's higher than their opinions or, you know.
I mean, you know.
I don't have to worry about that right
think,
now.
I always think when you guys are looking for love, you're always.
Is this a part two of what happened last time? It kind of is, feels like that.
You know why? Because I started picking up a lot of stuff, even in my own life, and seeing a lot of other wrestlers who go through it, where it's
High rated divorce, brother.
High rated divorce, and also in your line of work, the support is there. That you would want the support to be there, you know, and you see a lot of guys who work in there, you know, significant others are ringside or they're helping them, you know, sell merch or they're doing this or doing that or whatever it gives me, right? But then there's the other flip side. It's like, I don't want to have anything to do with it because of, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't want to seem to get hurt. It's not my thing. Or I hate the environment. Well, it could be that.
Some people.
But, you know, it's like what we mentioned before. It's like, you expect them to make a sacrifice for you for something that they're not into.
Exactly. And that's not right. But at the same time, find somebody, and this is again back to the self, find somebody that does recognize your passion and loves that you're passionate about it. Now, a lot of people aren't passionate about what they do. They're not.
Right.
They go to work, they get their job done well. And they feel good that they got their job done well, but then they go home and that's that. Mm. There's some people who, like me, are wired to want to enjoy what they do with their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's work or whether it's leisure time. Like, to me, I always, if I'm doing something, I have to see the enjoy. Like, even if I don't like what I'm doing at that minute in time, I try to find what I'm going to enjoy about it afterwards. I like cleaning. You know what I mean? Mm. I put on music. I enjoy more having a clean space.
Right.
I like working out. It's hard. but I also enjoy the results of working out. Plus, I enjoy, you know, or exercising, because I don't even really consider that work. You know, it's not work.
You know,
it's a part of my life.
Yeah.
It's literally a part of my life. Now,
it's always a joke that Will and I always say, is like, exercise isn't work. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's a lifestyle.
It has to, like, you know, and people, like, that's the thing. Like, people make excuses, including myself, of not doing, whether it's going to the gym or eating right or, you know, making appointments. It's like, yeah, but somebody else is tired. But
yours is extra, though, because, of course, we all should be eating healthy and doing exercise or whatever. But yours is,
Both of my childhood dreams.
We're not in the 80s where, like, Manny Fernandez, all those guys could go in a ring and just look like out of shape poker players and still put on a fucking 30-minute Broadway. It's different these days. You gotta have the look.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I was talking about that with a couple of friends of mine on Monday in the business, and I was just like, what I've noticed about wrestling, like, it's a body business, but it's just like the money, I think, is not only your face, but also your guns. Mm. You know what I mean? I think it's a guns type of business.
You're going to do the Rick Rude thing where it's like,
There's this Facebook.
Legs don't sell money.
He had great legs. That's why he also had very, very long legs.
But it was skinny. Everything was upper body with him, though.
His legs weren't skinny, but his upper body just really overshadowed everything else.
Right. He looked, like I said, he always looked like a key.
Yeah. And his Rick Rude, there was a ring episode. It was on Facebook. It's like a like page. It's like they show you stories about famous fights. Yeah. They did one on Sting and Rude in Japan.
It's so bad.
Because it's like horrible after that
bump. I watched it to you.
Yeah, you said after that bump.
It was over.
Yeah. Because not only did, like, he takes that bump, he takes other bumps and
he finished it.
Yeah, he finished it, but it's also compressing his spine even more.
Yeah, he fused his
The guy's like 6'4", and it's just like, now his career is over at literally, like, he's in his mid-30s.
The sad part about it was that although everybody...
And it ruined his life.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the sad part about it was that everybody said, well, you know, he had the Lloyd's of London deal that, you know, he was insured for all that shit or whatever the case may be. But it was like, no, at the end of the day, wrestling was his life. And he still had a career.
Yeah.
And whatever you can say about the money he made from the insurance, he could have made more money. Yeah. In the business.
And another thing, too, like when... When he passed away, he was training for a comeback, or an in-ring comeback.
Yeah.
Which is, I can only imagine, because I think Rude is a phenomenal worker.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I think one of the underrated stars of the... I think extremely underrated.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a bad match with him.
No, ever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know...
He made Warrior look good. How the fuck? Like...
Taking a lot of bumps.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean.
Now, you know, I always love the stories Austin tells of him. Because for a guy who likes to smoke, God rest his soul, a guy like to smoke a lot of marijuana.
But he was very serious. Everybody says macho, but he was very serious.
Yeah, very serious.
But yet, being...
like...
a degenerate.
Yeah, he was like, don't be a degenerate. And it's like...
and doing the same shit.
Yeah, but it's just like, he wouldn't go like... Bret Hart once said, like, Rick Rude, like, yes, he played a Lothario, a playboy on TV, but he was a guy who, like, never took his wedding ring off. And, like,
who he was
on screen when he went out, like women would hit on him and he was like, excuse, I'm sorry, I'm married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a married man. Like, I don't do that. You know what I mean? And it's just like, we all envied that kind of man where it's just like, because the guy, you know, women threw themselves at the wrestlers and they're like, yeah, you're married, bro. And it's like, you know, not on the road, brother. Like, you know, it's just like,
I'm not married in another zip code.
Yeah, it's just like, well, no, I'm married. Like, I got to, you know, I look. And that's when, if I'm ever blessed with the young lady that I feel like putting a ring on.
What the fuck? Are you from the Middle Ages? If I'm ever blessed with a young lady.
Yeah, because the rest of them are, you know.
Rats.
Well,
do they still use that terminology?
Oh, I used it the other day. We will not,
rats!
We will not talk about who, though.
Oh.
We will not talk about who.
We will talk about it off the mic.
Yeah, definitely. I can't, no slut shaming here.
Yet. So.
Well, no. Come on. That's not right.
Oh, it's not.
Somebody's. Frank
Sinatra. That's somebody's daughter.
Seriously. Frank Sinatra never talked about. That's why he was so cool. Frank Sinatra never talked about, you know, his. Many liaisons.
No, because the feds were listening. That's why he didn't talk about it.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Fly me to the moon. That's about somebody that he was fucking.
Yeah.
It wasn't his wife.
No.
It wasn't his wife.
Mickey Mantle. No, it was Mickey. Joe.
No, that man was loyal.
Joe never, ever, when somebody asked him about Marilyn, he was like, no.
No, that man was loyal. He would fight for Marilyn.
Yeah.
That's different.
You know, Marilyn's a very interesting woman. Marilyn was very, as much as she was a bombshell at the time, she was a very, what we call today, a very liberated woman.
Yeah.
Read a lot. She was very intellectual.
I was always fascinated by her. I have a poster.
Very intellectual. She liked to read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was this conservative Catholic, and she would walk around the house naked, right? Mm-hmm. I could only imagine that scene. But Joe was like, yo, listen, we're not in the bedroom. Put some clothes on. And she's like, but why? And she's like, because, like, the shades are open. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of man he was.
And going back to the relationship thing, look at that. He loved her.
Dearly.
Polar opposites. Mm-hmm. But yet still was trying to change her.
I don't think he was trying to change her. It's just like, this is the way I live. Please get on board.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. But you knew that going in, how she was.
Well, the thing. Well,
who was the bigger star, though?
They were huge, bro, at the time.
But who was the bigger star?
Like, I don't know. That's the thing.
That's just the crazy shit. Who was the bigger
at
star?
At the time, I think. With time, we're sports fans, so it's a little different.
Mm.
But like in popular culture right now, it's Marilyn, right? Now,
and it had to be. You know why? Like,
But at the time, Joe was part of, it wasn't even Murderer's Row, but it was like, he was still part of the Yankees in the 50s. You know what I mean? They were in every World Series.
I get that.
You know, we had Yogi Berra at the time, Mickey Mantle, like Whitey Ford was at the plate. You know, it was insane. Those teams were insane.
No, of course, but I think at that time, like you said, her being liberated and such, she also knew that. She was the fucking biggest star.
He wasn't the bigger star. They were equally big.
No,
and the thing the thing is, if she divorced Joe, her stock wouldn't go down. Or if she left Joe, her stock wouldn't go down. That's how,
right.
That's the thing where it's like, say,
all right, more men loved her than they loved him.
Well,
exactly.
I love the Skipper too, but I love the Clipper too. I'm sorry. I love the Clipper too, but you know, it's. Very sexy girl, very hard to please.
No, but this is what I'm saying. It reverses back to what I'm saying. It reverses back to the to that premise of you know, why do we come in with that idea that we can change we have to change for somebody? Why? Why is it that we do that?
Okay. There's changing to be a better person, which is a fantastic thing.
Mm.
But then there's a good change and a bad change. And I think it gets confused often. Good change is I don't have my shit together, whether that's finances, mostly it's finances, but you know, I don't have, you know, job, finances. You know, I'm just like, my house is a mess. Whatever is going on in my life isn't squared away, or it isn't taken care of. You know, I can't handle my shit.
Right.
You know, and I remember I was talking to a guy at Chase, and I was just like, something happened. I had missed a credit card payment, and I was very consistent with it. So of course, like, they're calling me up. They're like, yeah, give us our money. So the Indian guy, I guess, could sense my frustration, put me through to an American dude who was younger than me, but I just heard him through the phone. I was like, this guy has his shit together. And it was just like, you know, man, women don't like guys who don't have their shit together. He's like, well, women like guys who have it together. Like, you know, who can
I've seen fine women with bums.
They're not with bums for too long, though.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not with bums for too long.
That is true.
But, like, ideally, I think, I believe a woman wants a guy who, say the bum is has a physical attribute, right? Ideally, she wants a guy who looks like Brad Pitt and has the wallet like Warren Buffett.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's athletes, you know what I mean, are very sought after because, like, good genes. Like, literally good genes. MMA fight, like, you ever look at MMA fighters? Like, all their girlfriends are like, ooh, she's really beautiful.
It's
like, well, duh, dude. Like, he kicks people's ass for a living. Like, you know?
And
some of them are very intelligent, believe it or not.
Right. Like,
you know, like, gone are the day. Like, that's what I hate about people who are just, like, fighter. Like, I hated Meryl Streep's, like, mixed martial arts, which are not the arts. Like, do you ever have a conversation? Like, Conor McGregor is an extremely intelligent human being.
Mm.
You know, Nate Diaz, extremely, like, you think, like, he's stupid because, like, I got hit in the head a couple times. But, yeah, I'm, like, he's smart. Like, he's smart. He may not be, like, he can't recite.
He's street smart. Like, let's be honest. Like, and not to take anything away from that. I'm not looking for him to fucking.
There's people who could recite throw, but in a bad neighborhood will have their headphones down and, like, heads in their phone.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, like, I said, but don't make it seem like he's fucking.
Yes, I know he's not.
Like, he's like putting together.
We never know.
The chemicals of nuclear fusion and shit.
We don't know. 98.7.
No, I was only talking about it because I remember when I was seeing somebody, right, and what drew them in to me was when I told them I had a wrestling podcast. They were a wrestling fan, and I had a wrestling podcast. I have a wrestling podcast.
Your ex-wife.
No, that means I would have been doing this for X amount of years. Yeah. No, I was seeing somebody and they were really turned on by the fact that I had a podcast and was even into the sound of my voice and all this shit and the case may be. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You do have a nice soothing.
Do I though? I've heard that voice so many times, like velvety.
Yeah.
I've been told I should do voiceovers and shit like that.
Well, no, shit like that, but...
No, but I... You're not helping. No, but, you know...
I'm sorry, I didn't build your confidence.
Yeah.
You have a very... I just said you have a very sultry...
Listen, sultry. I'm very sultry.
Sultry, velvety voice.
I'm very self-conscious, so I really need that. I need somebody to help boost my ego.
Okay.
I need that.
No matter.
Stroke my ego a little bit. Stroke my personality as such.
Yeah, no, but a very nice voice.
So I was told about that, and all of a sudden, like after a year, we're not downloading or listening to the show anymore.
Oh.
My voice is not as sultry anymore. I'm not cool anymore. So
did you kick us to the curb? No, you didn't.
You know,
you didn't.
Let me ask.
You didn't.
No, let me ask you this.
Just be honest with yourself.
It's not being honest. It's
exactly. It's not being honest.
No, it's not being honest. It's
exactly.
More. No, listen to me. It goes to a certain age to where do I need to do this? Yeah, it's not working out.
You just stopped calling.
I think we should. No, it's just like the same rituals that we used to do. We don't do anymore. So it's like.
Yeah, you stopped calling. She stopped answering your messages.
It's just texts.
Oh, it's just texts?
Just texts.
Stop texting her.
Yeah, we nobody's having sex anymore. And, you know, just say, hey, checking in. How you doing? Everything's all right?
Checking in.
Yeah. Nobody says checking in. It's like, good morning. You're all right. You're good.
Right. Yeah, I'm fine. What do you want?
Yeah, but I don't have that. I don't carry bitterness like a lot of people. Like, I don't have that.
No, I carry bitterness. I carry bitterness. I shouldn't, but I do. No, seriously, because now I have to think about you all day. Like, it's just like...
No, I really don't.
No, I do. It's just like, hey, like, or, you know, I've had this. Hey, how you doing? I haven't heard from you in a long time. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm done that on purpose.
I guess I've progressed to that moment to where it's like
I know you are 87 years old, and,
right?
You know,
so I've gotten to that moment, that point in life where it's just like, you know,
yeah, you need Viagra to get
check
it
in
up,
and check
know?
In. What you doing this weekend? Oh no, I'm going to see family. Whoever kids me. All right, cool. Enjoy yourself. That's it.
I couldn't have conversations like that
because I don't. I like a lot of my exes.
All your exes live in Brooklyn.
Exactly. Although they should live in Texas. No, I don't have any ill will towards them. You know, it's all it's fine.
It's all love. It's only, all good. It's all shut up.
It's but why are you mad? Because I can still have possibilities. I could do a double back one time, man. Hey, I'm in town. You want some pussy? Sure.
You know what that is? When you have nothing in the fridge and you put the Chinese food you couldn't finish in the fridge and have it later. When it gets all cold and crunchy. And
I would eat it. Yeah, it's like pizza. I would eat it.
No, pizza's a world of difference.
Exactly. And I would still do it with Chinese food.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
You're the one who takes it and throws it in the garbage, stomps on it, and kicks it out the fucking window.
You know what it is? It's the hero at a party that people send you home with. That's what it is.
Party sandwich? A party hero? Yeah. I love party hero.
Yeah, so do I. But you know what? But there's not enough.
Italian party hero?
Yeah, exactly. There's always two. There's an American one and there's an Italian one.
Italian party hero is the greatest.
And there's always, everybody always sends you, I'll give you the American one and give you the Italian one because nobody eats a whole sandwich, right? And you put it in the fridge because you had so much food at the party. Mm-hmm. And then you just open the fridge and the bread's all stale. That's what
I still eat that shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what talking to your exes are like. That's what it is.
Wow. What a reference. I like that. But still, it's true though. Like,
listen, if you want to keep your options open, keep your options open.
No, but it's also the thing though. I'm too grown to sit there and give you this conversation. It's like, well, you know, it's not working right now. So I think that.
Just say, listen, this shit is dead. Yeah, exactly. Just be like, I don't want to talk. No, but you see, it's not dead for you. You keep it on life support.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I'm cool. We chill. Yeah, like,
whatever you got to say yourself.
Like, if I'm going to sit there and tell somebody, you know,
hey, listen, man,
this isn't working.
Your truth is your truth, brother.
And I own up to it.
Good.
And I own up to it.
How many times have you been in bed with an ex?
I'm not 15 to sit there and go, you know, I'm going to see other people.
How many times have you been? What? Your ex-wife.
Zero. But that's a different story, though.
Oh, facts.
That's different. I mean, I have...
I'll give you a scenario. I want to see what you think about it, right? Mm. My ex-girlfriend used to have a friend who...
You fucked?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that she didn't try. which will be a story for another day. But she has a brother who... Like, fell in love with a single mom, moved them out to Staten Island, did the whole thing. And then she goes one day, she says, I'm going to take the daughter to Disney World with the baby's father. Mm-hmm. And she was talking to me and my ex about it. And she's like, hey, my brother's pretty upset about it. And I was like, if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, you could go with him, but you can't live in my house when you come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go with him. Go with your baby's father.
Right.
Play family. But once you land in the city of New York, your shit will be on the curb and you have like 45 minutes before like crackheads are like, ooh, what's this? You know what I mean? Like you have 45 minutes. I'll make sure no one takes your stuff, but you have to come get it when you land here. You could go with your baby's father. You know, like that's a conundrum of dating.
Yeah. But you see when it,
I'm not going to date, brother. I think I might.
I
think I might go to seminary.
I want to get the fuck out of here. Ain't nobody stopping me from getting pussy. You ridiculous. That's crazy. Not going to happen.
Whoa, dude. Who said I wouldn't get?
You talk about seminary. Seminary is, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Sans vagina is like, no.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. But it's just like, you know, there's a.
No, it's not happening.
You can't do that.
No.
Or you shouldn't.
There's an individual who I know at my job who was talking with. And they know not to have this conversation with me because I'm blunt and I'll let them know, like, you're being ridiculous that, you know, had this falling out with, holy shit. Speaking of our work, are my fucking pages going off? Oh, yeah. You put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, asshole. So he had this issue to where, you know, he had a falling out with his ex-wife and such in all this case. And he's like, I'm not going to get married. I'm not dealing with women anymore. And I'm like,
good for him.
All right.
Whatever he got to tell himself to get through the pain.
I'm like, all right.
He's in pain. Leave him alone.
All right.
He's in pain. Leave him alone.
All right.
He's in pain. I want you to leave him alone.
Thank you for transferring all that power to her now, because now she's stopping you from living your life.
Maybe he wants to live his life in solitude. You ever think about that?
And it's because someone did that.
No, you never thought about that.
Because someone did that.
You know, we'll just agree to disagree.
Because you know I'm right, though. No, you know, no. You're giving your... Would you give that power to anybody else to do that to you?
I don't know. I just said I wouldn't get married, you know, earlier. I
married? Think how? Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, I said
you're an Irish Catholic Puerto Rican.
Right.
And, you know, marriage is like.
Yeah. It's a huge thing.
So have you already submitted to the fact that you might not get married and have kids?
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't think that's not going to happen.
Stop it.
Walk around with a bunch of daughters.
So I saw you recently. Yeah, you're back into the ring for the new year and new gear. I like the gear, man.
I had new gear last year, except I wasn't advertising my matches like I was last year. This one I really advertised and I sent it out to people and I need new pictures taken, man.
What's the what's the look for? What is it for? What are we doing? It's red, white, and blue.
I have the same gear in different colors.
How much is that, though? It looks good.
Very expensive. Very expensive. But, hey, listen, brother, you got to invest in your look.
Of course. It looks, you know, like I said, it looks really, really good. I was very...
very impressed.
I'm very impressed.
Well, here's the thing. I don't like the idea of being uniformed in a way where...
And you're a boots guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boots guy. So I have very heavy boots, but... There's only certain part, like, you know, the city job that I talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. They're uniformed, but it's just kind of like it's a little more chill. Like as long as you're wearing something that's uniformed.
I always thought that you would go for that look.
I have that look because like sometimes I'll wear a hat with a bandana and aviators. Sometimes I'll just wear something different. Or sometimes, like, you know what I mean? Like maybe I won't wear a kilt. You know what I mean?
Like I was looking for like to have like the neon, like that reflector green.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
to
it's
see.
Just like I'm at Axl Rose. Like, you know, I did a million wardrobe changes back in the day. That's kind of like the entrance gear. You know what I mean? And then once I go off, I'm uniformed. You know what I mean? Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
my entrance was always a huge part. You know what I mean? Like, remember in House of Glory? I can't believe it. You know, God bless House of Glory for this reason, because they let me get, as long as I flew. Not under the radar, but right at the radar. Mm. I got away with, especially when I.
But it brought a lot of attention when you did it, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like my ridiculously long entrances.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like people like,
dude, yo, Hank, you can't be out there for no more than 10, but we'll give you 8.
Yeah. We'll give you 8. And then it's just like, all right, well, my entrance is going to be like 3.
Your match is going to be 5.
My match will be 5, and my entrance is going to be 3. You know, it's just like, and people, like, I would hear people be like, yo, where is this dude? You know what I mean? And it finally came out, everybody's like, because they've made them wait for so long. They're like, ah, come on, man. Like,
does anyone recognize your genius? Like, No. It's not a rib.
There was a person we were talking about off the mics, didn't like the fact that I changed my song every month. They didn't like it. It's like, dude, you have to have a song. I was like, No, I don't.
Well, you're not mainstream TV, so if you had to go...
Even if I was on mainstream TV, I wouldn't want a song.
No, then you would be an ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you would be an ass.
Exactly.
But no, I'm talking about you'd be an ass, but you'd be difficult because they know that's what, like, the audience wants.
I know, but like you can't always give the audience what they want. You can't always give them what they want. You got to give in a way, like, you know.
Listen, the Stones got to play Satisfaction every show they do.
But they don't tell you when they're going to play it.
Right. But you still got to play it.
I'll give you an example. That we went to the gun show back in...
What, you pull your arms out? You had the gun show out? Yeah.
In Rose's show. Jungle's about fourth in their set, and I think that's great. And you know what? Back in 91, they would play Jungle, Sweet Child, Paradise, It's So Easy. You know what I mean? Like, that was it. Like, obviously, their core, they had to play...
Play the hits!
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. Because they played a new song and they're like, this guy's like, I want to hear Paradise City. Drunk guy was like, I want to hear Paradise City. And I was like, if I yell this dude's going to want to fight and then I'm going to get thrown out of here. And I'm not getting thrown out of here. Like, fuck you, dude. But a couple of, it was 60,000 people went to the show. So a couple of people that I knew from the neighborhood went and they put on their story where, you know, he goes, you know what the fuck you are? And she goes, finally, because you have to play it.
Right.
But you don't know when they're going to play it. And that's the magic of it. It's just like, go, when are they playing Jungle? Actually, when they started playing Rumble by Link Ray, you know, they played it in Pulp Fiction. You know, the chord song, you know, when they're eating the burger?
Yeah, right.
Slash play that right before Jungle, because it's the same chord progression as Jungle, right? And, you know, I'm like, when were they playing Rumble? Like, when are they playing? Like, I thought, because I followed the set list, like, Jungle's supposed to come now. And then they played Jungle, and I was like, oh, great.
But
like,
you, you know, but like, you just contradicted, because you followed a set list.
Yeah, and I was just like, but they surprised me, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, but...
I was pleasantly surprised, and that's the effect I get.
But do you know how effective it is when somebody hears someone's music start, and it's
the wrestling pop.
The pop. Like, you don't get that pop anytime.
I will get it, and I'm going to achieve it. I promise you
No, it doesn't work that way.
You say no, I promise you that'll happen.
You know how many indie guys have done that?
Not the way I've done it.
Spit on your comment.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
They want to hear.
I don't give a shit.
They want to hear the hits, man. They want to hear. They want to hear. For the longest time, they want to hear fucking. We Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel. They want to hear the hits.
Too bad.
Come on.
Too bad.
Everything. Yo, I hear Hank Flanagan's supposed to be here tonight. I am waiting to hear his theme music, and he drops a fucking One by Metallica when you usually come out with November Rain or some shit. Whatever. Like, come
jump
on.
Around.
Or Jump Around. Yeah, like, right. Come on. They're looking forward to hear Jump Around all the time. You're going to do some dick catching. Unless it's heel mode.
Duh.
Right. But you still have to let them know that.
Let them know. That, I will let them know when I walk through the curtain. They what see somebody a better than them.
Pissant you are.
Pissant? Say, you know, I don't like your threats. I remember 6 years ago you threatened me.
You remember that?
Yeah. I've never forgotten it. Because I wasn't even here for you to be like, yo, can you not spit at my wife?
But that was a threat?
Yeah, you were just like, yo, you're going to have to live that gimmick. It's like, yeah, I've had to.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And you know what you did to the next time you came into my apartment?
I confronted you about it.
And you apologized.
I did?
Yes, he did.
Well, because she was right there. She was not too keen on the way I was treating Sonya.
We were on the outs anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I was actually
sitting there going, God, I'm glad. I'm hoping it should have hit her.
I know.
Because that means if it would have hit her, I would have had another 2 hour ride to fucking deal with to go home to listen to this shit.
No, seriously. But it was just like, I remember you saying like a year later, you're just like, you know, honestly, I really hope that it would have been great if you did. You would have been great. I was like, really?
And we were like, literally like, it was like,
it was on the tail end of my marriage.
Yeah, it was like, about to happen. And
like divorce papers were like being drawn up. Like it was.
Go to your bed. Go to your bed.
No, get him on the couch.
I'm not picking him up.
Ah, you fucking cunt.
Super pretty. Come on,
buddy.
Wow. You see the, you know, during the show, this is what happens. Come on. Now, Hank is sitting there picking up Super Engineer AJ, just so he could get on the couch. Just for what? For what?
So he could relax.
He has a bed in the room.
He wants to relax on the couch.
He wants to be around the peoples.
He was struggling to get up on the couch.
13. He's going to be 13.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Yeah, he's going to be 13. No. I've not had a dog full term.
Well, how long did they live?
I've always had to give.
That's an American Bulldog, right?
No, he's a Boston.
Oh, Boston Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Boston Terry. Yeah, how long do they live?
15 to 17.
Well, is he in relatively good health?
Yeah. He's getting there. But you know what's crazy is that all the dogs that I've had, I had to give them away.
Why?
Moving situations.
Well, hopefully you get to keep him full term.
Why? So you want me in tears when it fucking happens?
No, but
you want me to fucking carry his ashes in a fucking and an amulet around my neck? Like, what the fuck? I think about it from time to time, and I go, I don't know.
Yo, look at the way he's looking at me. He's like my best friend.
Yeah, he's like, thank you for picking me up. Yeah, like, fucking pussy. Like,
shut the fuck up.
He has a bed. He could have went to his bed.
Shut up. You know what's really weird? Dogs.
You're very, yeah,
dogs something. Really like me.
That and you love dogs.
I do love dogs. I do.
I think when your separation, the big thing that hurt you was the dog.
Yes. My dog. I love my dog. I like cats, but I love dogs. I had a cat for a long time. My cat was mean.
I'm a dog person. You better love me, my wrestling. Hate everything else. Just love my dog and love my wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? That's all we got.
Heavy metal.
And yeah. Oh.
Nice. See, that's the thing. Like,
you can always put headphones to cover that up. Man.
No. I was dating. Here's a great date. We'll end with this. I'm sure we've gone way over time.
Right.
But I was seeing an older woman, and we were going somewhere. And it's funny because she kind of keeps me in the. She's doing what you do with your exes. She's keeping me in the loop.
And I'm at fault for doing what I do.
Oh, without a doubt. But we're going out. We're going. Where is she? There's some touristy thing. Oh, the Edge. Remember that Edge thing at Hudson Yards?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So she wanted to do that, and she bought tickets for it. So we're getting ready to go, and blah blah blah. So I put on music. I put on Guns N' Roses, my favorite band. Right. Favorite band of all time. She like, and I know it's her apartment, but she's doing stuff. So I want to hear music, and I'm chilling, and she shut my music off. She changed my music, and I was just like, what? Like, I was upset about it for the rest of the
day. She played Adele or some shit?
She played some, like, house music. Like, not even house music, like, club, like, I'm chilling, kind of, I'm having a drink music.
Okay.
You know, and like, chill, you know, I'm on chill vibes.
This is the night.
No, just like, boom, tsh, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like, that smooth, like, it's mixed with smooth
jazz. But
it's
her house.
Right. But she turned off my music.
But it's her house.
Fine. But I've had women in my house do the same shit. It's like, yeah, but it's too loud and it's scary. It's like, shut up. Like, leave. Leaving. Leave.
Don't you know you always gotta entertain the woman?
No. I've entertained you enough.
This is why we have problems. This is the end.
This is why we have problems.
I would turn around. If she was playing that, I would turn around and be like, you listening to this shit?
Yeah. And like, you could listen to the door slam on your way out. Yeah,
exactly. This is the shit.
I'm gonna be alone,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
I have to have daughters.
Why?
Because, you are so lucky to have a daughter.
I am. I'm very blessed, yeah.
Not even because she's great and she's smart and all that stuff. When you get old and lonely, who's going to take care of you?
I don't believe that's going to happen.
Yes, that is absolutely going to happen.
No, here's here's the thing
is so going to happen.
This is what I always tell people. I always tell people about when they have kids and they have daughters. Whatever, as a father, whatever you have done, As a man in your life, relationships, whatever the case may be, you now have to protect them from that.
Yeah.
And it's the most hypocritical thing that you would ever do in your life.
Dude, what, as a man with a daughter, with several daughters, one wrong move, porno, like that.
What do you mean?
One wrong move you make as a dad. One wrong move you make,
like,
as a dad.
It's like, well, what was that Chris Rock said? My whole job is to keep him off the pole.
Yeah, your whole job is just to be like, one wrong move, and it's just like porno, like that. Like, it's just like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like think about it. Like, you know, like, this is, porno is so bad. But it's just like, this is some man's, like, this is like, now some of those girls' fathers are absolute dickheads.
Oh, they're like, fucking assholes, yeah.
But like, there's always that 1 or 2% of dads who, like, was working way
too
hard.
Didn't bring milk at the right time.
Or was working way too hard. Yeah, and it's just like, missed a recital, like, you know what I mean? Like, daddy, you missed.
Listen,
my,
you know, how much OT I could be eating, and I don't, because I'm home to make sure that I'm there for her. And it's like, and it's not like I don't have any regrets. I don't care. Like I said, I do pretty well. I do okay. Wow. But like, you got to do what you have to do.
Bill Burr, you got to hug your daughters. You got to hug your daughters.
What does Bill have?
He has a one daughter and one son.
Oh, okay. Boys are easy. I don't care what anybody tells me. Boys are easy.
Louis C.K. had a great bit about boys and girls, right? And he goes
because he has girls.
Yeah, he goes, boys fuck shit up and girls are fucked up.
Right.
And he goes, boys will, you know what I mean? Like, do things that you could assess in, like, damage and, like, money. Like, all right, this is going to cost, like, this is, like, you know, they jump on the bed, like, they ruin the couch, blah, 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 right? He goes, a guy will cut your arm off, but leave you as a human being intact.
Mm.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Like, he'll leave you as, like, he won't, like, destroy your soul. Like, a woman won't, like, nothing will be broken, Things, well, thing, the windows aren't broken. The house isn't a mess, but they'll shit inside of your heart. He goes, I have a daughter. And he told the story about how her daughter broke a toy and then she demanded her sister's toy be broken to make it fair.
And he did it.
Yeah.
He did it. He did it.
Yeah, little girls could be mean, bro. Mean.
But here's the thing. That's why I only have one. I have no other kids. I knew my limits. I understood where to go with it. Well, I know. You know, being an Irish Puerto Rican, you'll probably want to have five.
I hate that it's so right.
You'll have Irish twins that, you know, be like 9 months, 8 months apart, 7 months apart.
Yeah, like four months. I hate that. It's so true. It's so true. It's so bad. It's just like, yeah, like I like to, like, and I want all girls too. Like, I don't want any boys. I grew up around a bunch of women. And like, I have four younger brothers, but I grew up like a single mom. So it was like, of course she surrounded us with women.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to deal with, I'm learning as a man now how to deal with other men.
Right.
Like that where we don't end up in a fist fight or killing each other. Like I'm just learning that now as a grown man. But like, you know, I did you know anybody raising a boy? Like, do you, like, I'm sure you have plenty of people raising a boy, and that's, definitely, it's rough. Like, you know, like for me, it'll be rough because I just know what I'm like with women. I know what I'm getting. You know what I mean?
You know what I got from, for the most part, a lot of the guys that I knew raising boys, being there, it's not a lot of work because at the end of the day, a lot of those, boys are mama's boys.
True. But so, like, you know, like a father's so important in the life of his son, but
girls don't really have really great relationship with their mothers.
What, in their teen years?
No. Like, listen. And I'll give you this tip right now. When I knew I was going to have a girl, I had told her mother, I said, the first year, that's you guys' time. I said, don't be mad at me if I'm not interacting there. I said, don't be mad because that's mommy and baby time.
Yeah, mommy and baby.
And you're going to be doing that. I says, right after that, I'm fucked because it's all about me.
Yeah, it's all about, yeah.
And sure enough, I wasn't wrong because after that, everything was daddy.
Well, Bill Burr said, it's like, you know, you gotta hug the hooker heels out of them. Like, you gotta hug the, seriously, hug those stripper heels out of them.
But it's, it comes naturally.
I know, it comes naturally. I see it, but it's like, let them know that you're a good man and find a good man like you. You know
I remember I mean? Like, my cousin would tell me, when because he had his daughter before me, and he goes, make sure she smells you because she got to recognize you because, you know, it's like animal instinct. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, it's a little overboard.
You're going too deep with it. No, I already knew. I said it was going to happen the way it was going to happen. And, you know, now I got a teenager who she's going through her emotions.
Is she smarter than you yet?
No, it's getting there though.
Yeah, and it's gonna come soon.
It's getting
there. How old
there.
Is she now?
She'll be 15.
Oh
so, yeah, it's Damn. Getting there. It's yeah. getting there.
She's gonna be smart. But she's gonna be smarter than you.
And I'm not mad at it. But I'm also
supposed to go.
But you know what? I'm grateful for social media because I get to learn shit. The TikTok.
Yo, it's unfortunate. It really is. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, but did you know that you could revert raisins and make it back into grapes? You ain't know that, right? All right. Check this out.
You know, it's so funny, too. It's like, because when you're a parent of a young kid, and I don't know, I don't have privilege yet. You have to.
But you had a good age, though, because I had kids late, too, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it's late to us. I mean, Irish Puerto Rican. Like, I, you think it? Well,
yeah. I was your age when I had my first.
Yeah, but I'm living in modern times. So
right. But what the fuck? You make it seem as though like I had a kid back in fucking the 50s.
No,
with the Victrola and shit. No, man. I was 31 when she was born. Man.
Yeah, but you know, even back then, 31 to larger society was an acceptable age.
Right. But, no, you know, it really wasn't though.
Really?
No, because remember, it was still, I had friends who were already
parents of teenagers.
Two kids in and shit like that.
Wow, yeah.
One of my boys was a grandfather at like 40. I mean, excuse me, 40. At 37, 38.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Oh my God.
I look at him, I go, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? It's like, what are you doing? You fucked up on one, now you're going to fuck up on two? Like, what are we doing here? Shit.
I remember Kid Rock became a grandfather pretty early, right? And he's just like, yeah, bro, I am white trash. Like,
the realization.
No, he's just like, my son is half black. You know what I mean? I got a granddaughter. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, I'll be a great grandfather
before I'm
60.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. We're good. But you want to wrap it up? Let's everybody know what we have.
If I'm wrapping it up, I'm not having any kids.
you are. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Hopefully, the good Lord puts a good lady in my life.
Not now. Yeah, you like going raw anyway. I don't give a shit what you say.
I'm Catholic.
Well, we can see what's coming for you, man.
Coming up. Please stay tuned. I'm gonna use that like, oh, stay tuned. But no, really, stay tuned.
You know what I don't like? I don't like that you don't promote on the Turnbuckle Metabolite pages. You should do that. You share what's
going on.
Yeah,
I get a little scared too.
Sphere. Just share it.
Well, I share when I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, but you know, post onto the pages, man.
Oh, do you do? All right, fine. Yeah. I mean, it's I got a pretty good following.
Yeah. So,
how do you do that?
Go to,
do you not see the wink? Like, we didn't have to talk about it. Good Hank Flanagan and Instagram, ladies. You could slide into that DM. Preferably moral, decent women.
Yeah, we don't need any rats. I don't have cheese hanging from my balls. I don't have that yet.
No, I wash my balls every day. G. Hank Flanagan at Twitter and Hank Flanagan. You could search up on Facebook and give me a friend request. That's it.
That's it. All right, we'll make sure.
The big three.
All right, guys.
Instagram, Twitter.
We out of here, guys, and make sure you follow the guys. Always, I love when he comes in. He always flexes his newly built muscles. And
well, you know, got to stop at the gas station.
Yeah, you know what it is. Check you guys later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.